Hey everybody, it's Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy here, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, the rise of the microbrands. All right, so today we are joined with a friend of mine, Paul Miller. He's a veteran entrepreneur and incredible Amazon seller. I know you guys will know his brands. He's going to be talking about something that we don't talk about, and that's going to be licensing. And, you know, what he's done, the breakdown of a licensing agreement, and how he went from, in 3 years, from $0 to $4 million. So not a bad run in a couple of years. Anyways, let's bring in Kelsey. Kelsey.
Hello.
Hey.
Okay. Happy Friday.
Yes. And I see you're still trying to compete with Borat.
Nice. Yes. You know, Very nice. November is still, you know, a couple weeks to go. So we got Marcia here. Hello, Marcia. So, you know, I got a couple, 2 more weeks to go. I think it'll fill up by then. You know, I got time. First of all, I just want to say happy Thanksgiving to those Americans watching us today.
Yes.
I've got a couple things to talk about today.
So. Marcia, where are you from?
Marcia's actually, she won a contest, one of our contests.
Yep.
Okay, Angie's
Angie.
Hello, Angie. And yes, Marcia, hi. Yeah. Okay, so we do have a contest giveaway today. So we're going to do things a little differently. We didn't have time to talk about this before, but, so it's a 30-minute, consultation with Paul about licensing. So if you are interested in this giveaway, you can go ahead and tag 2 people in the comments. I'm going to be keeping track of everyone doing that, throughout the show, and I'm putting it into a name generator, and it'll spit out a winner at the end of the show. So stick around for that.
Okay. So that's great. Very good.
All right. And let's see. If you have any questions about the show, put them on in the comment sections and just be patient. We'll pop them up on the screen and get to them as soon as we can. And yeah, follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Hit that like button. Ring that bell. And yeah, enjoy the show.
Okay, and just one last thing. If you're watching this as a replay, skip ahead. No need to, well, you do, I guess you do. You've already heard then about the contest and what Kelsey's going to be doing. But go right over to the podcast and, you know, get into the meat and potatoes. Anyways, if you're listening on my profile page, you can always go over to the fan page, which is Norm Farrar, a.k.a. The Beard Guy. And we're going to have whole episodes. You can check it out. Content, all sorts of different things over there. And also video clips that Kelsey puts together every week. So anyways, I think that's about it. Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee. I've got mine here. And enjoy the show. So let's bring on Mr. Miller.
Hey,
hello,
Norm.
Sir.
How's it going today, Norm? Thanks for having me on.
You know, it's a real pleasure. The very first thing I want to do, whenever I've got somebody on that has an incredible podcast, I want to give them, I know how hard it is to continually bring out content. It's a tough job. You guys have an awesome podcast. Do you want to just talk about that for a second?
Okay, you caught me off guard here, Norm.
I know.
Talking about licensing. Yeah. Me and my very good friend, Kelly Amfidio, who was a brand owner and recently, you know, exited her business. She and I have put together a podcast called Amazing Exits. And it's all about helping to prepare Amazon FBA sellers to grow and exit their brand someday. So that's what it is. AmazingExits.com. Go there or, you know, just search in your iPod app, your podcasting app for Amazing Exits, and you'll see it there. And we bring on all kinds of people like you and others, anybody that can add value to that Amazon business for an eventual exit.
Perfect. Yeah, so Kelsey's going to post that in there. Guys, I listen to this podcast on a regular basis, and I give Kelly and Paul, you know, two thumbs up. I mean, it is a good quality podcast. So anyways, hey, let's give a couple of shout-outs to Darwin. Great to see you back. And we've got Simon back. Simon's actually asking if this is a replay. No, it is live, sir. And Marcia's got a question or a comment, Kelsey.
Okay. Marcia, just want to share when I can. Years ago, I invented sidewalk chalk. In 1990, I licensed the right to the world's largest toy company. Since then, I've executed more than a dozen licenses. I'm happy to help any of you listeners who might want to know about product licensing as well. Happy Thanksgiving to your team. Gobble, gobble.
Hey, congratulations, Marcy. That's awesome. And that's congratulations. And that's one side of licensing that we're going to talk about. And my type of licensing is going to be the opposite of that. Well, I'll explain that further later.
Okay. Yeah. And one of the things I love right off the bat is that you're not afraid to expose your brand. Oh my gosh. Cozy Phones.
Darn it. You weren't supposed to say that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Tilt your camera up a bit.
Oh yeah. There we go. Fully exposed right there.
There we go. All right. So let's talk about licensing. Where would you like to start?
Well, you know, I've kind of been open about my brand for quite a while because I think that licensing is a humongous opportunity for Amazon sellers, brand owners to differentiate and protect their brand on Amazon or anywhere, but specifically on Amazon. And okay, the kind of licensing that I talk about, and there's really two different kinds, where Marcia mentioned that she had an invention and she licensed it to a toy manufacturer. In that case, she's the licensor and they are the licensee. In my case, what I wanted to do was take my Cozy Phones, which is a headband headphone, and license somebody else's IP, their property, their character, and put it on my headphone. So, you know, probably my most popular license is Nickelodeon Paw Patrol, for example. And so we have a license with Nickelodeon to use their characters on our headphones. And just to give you another example, I also have a license through Hasbro now for this guy. Quick quiz. Anybody tell me who this character is? Let's see in the comments. Anybody? This is probably one of the biggest preschool characters worldwide. Anybody?
Nobody has kids.
Nobody knows. Right? Okay, so this is PJ Mask, and this is Catboy in particular, okay? So this is a preschool brand, hugely popular preschool, animated cartoon, and tons of merchandise around PJ Mask. They're like superheroes, and this is one of the characters. So, you know, my Cozy Phones, which I created this category of soft, stretchy headband headphone for kids. There's usually speakers inside this headband. We license with Nickelodeon, Batman, Sesame Street, to put the characters that kids and parents love on our headphones. Okay, so what does that do for me? That differentiates me, right? And now where I do have copycats for Cozy Phones on Amazon, you know, people doing different styles of my headphones, they're not going to copy something from Hasbro or CBS Viacom and their team of lawyers, right? So it protects us with that IP. And it differentiates us because, you know, we're the only ones. We have basically although it's not a legal exclusive, it's basically an exclusive on those characters. So this type of licensing can be done for all kinds of products. I have another example for you right here. This is Camelback water bottle, right? But rotate it around. Aha.
There we go.
As you know, I'm a Marine veteran. And so I got my USMC water bottle. Guess what? This little sticker down here says it's an officially licensed product from USMC. So the Marine Corps is selling licenses, believe it or not. If you want to, you know, make a T-shirt with this emblem on there and everything, you'd have to get a license from the Marine Corps. So that's another real simple thing, right? And so what happens is if I have an affiliation or an affinity for this brand and I'm looking for water bottles, I'm going to choose this water bottle with the brand on it that I like versus something generic. And you can just take this scenario over and over again, right? And apply it to almost any product, whether it's a kids category or adult category. But it is complicated. And that's why, you know, I go out from time to time and speak about licensing. I think it's a huge opportunity, but people also have to understand, you know, it's also complicated, can be mm-hmm. expensive, can take a long time, but really adds a lot of value to your brand.
Yeah, I know I used to be working with this bracelet company, just it was a pretty cool company. They went out and just got all the colleges, and then they went out and some sports teams.
Mm-hmm.
The sales skyrocketed. Every woman wanted, or you know, a lot of women that were going to Ohio State or wherever it was, they got this type of jewelry, and yep. we couldn't believe how the sales just, you know, went up. But the other thing, like, I think that we've got to, it doesn't have to be, but I like the idea that you've already had, you were the original when it came to the cozy phones, you know, that style. You went out, you spent the money, you got it developed. It was a unique product being launched on Amazon, which gave you something different. Although you could, like you said, you could do it on a water bottle. Mm-hmm. But getting out of the, just jumping out of the gates with a unique product and spending that money, I think that's I think that's a great move. And then second of all, going out and getting these licenses is almost like, yeah, you have to pay for it, but it's kind of like the transparency program, right? Right. You got to pay for that too. But you have a team of lawyers that are going to help prevent these counterfeiters from coming on your listing.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know what else it does? It kind of legitimizes your brand too, right? When you put an affiliation with Nickelodeon on there, for example, or a Sesame Street, people are going to say, you know, these guys must be the real deal. Otherwise, how would they have an agreement with Sesame Street or Nickelodeon, right?
Right.
So, and not only that, but you can then, it's a lot easier to make a pitch to, say, a retailer, for example, if you wanted to expand into retail, someone who's already selling, you know, half a toy aisle full of Nickelodeon products, you come in and say, hey, I've got another Nickelodeon product that fits right into your, you know, into your toy display or whatever. So
right.
It really adds a ton of credibility and legitimacy to your brand.
And also cross-promoting. You can go and get tons of other people, approach them, cross-promote, and, you know, people, hey, look, I have to talk with my kids. Kelsey remembers Barney. Well, I would buy the slippers. Yes, he had slippers, and he would have the blanket, and he would have the pillow cover. If you combined all of those, and now not only your brand or your product is getting promotion, but also all these other products that you can cross-promote, unless you're the one that has the products, you can start cross-promoting all the products together.
Right. Well, how about keyword research, Norm? Think about this. You know, where you may have been had water bottle before or something like, you know, whatever it is, headband, headphone, in the case of cozy phones. If you're going to buy your kids something that's Barney, for example, and I know Kelsey's got to be loving this, right? And by the way, he's got quite a ways to go before he catches up with you with his beard, I must say. But if you having a license opens up a whole new world of keywords to you. Because you may not be looking for a headband headphone. You're looking for a Batman gift, right? So if I can say, you know, Batman gifts for toddlers, if I show up for that keyword as, you know, cozy phones, because I've got Batman in there and as a keyword I'm going after, it opens up a whole new world of keyword and search results for you that you wouldn't have had access to otherwise.
Yeah, I never really thought about that on Amazon, but if somebody is typing in, yeah, Batman, Marvel, whatever, yeah, you come up.
Right.
Great idea. Now, what is the, I know you said it's complicated, and I don't want to get into complicated stuff, but if we had step-by-step, you know, how does somebody get into it?
I'll try to break this down pretty simply. you know, I give an hour long presentation on just the nuts and bolts of licensing and how to get started. But first of all, there are tons of resources out there. I think it's licensing.org will get you into the Licensing Industry Management Association, which is LIMA. All right. So there's huge infrastructure out there available that supports licensing. There are licensing consultants. There are licensing agencies. There's Paul Miller, people can reach out to. You know, I have consultants that I've worked, I can refer people to. It starts really, I think, a great place to go is the licensing show that happens in Vegas every year. And, you know, this year it was canceled. And that's a place that I went first. Someone recommended it to me when I first got started and I was looking for a way to, you know, grow and protect my brand. I was calling around people like you, Norm, and I said, hey, I got something good on my hands, but I'm afraid I'm going to get ripped off. What would you do? And this particular friend of mine said, I would try licensing. And I said, what do you mean? He said, yeah, think about this, A, B, C, D. You know, and I said, wow, that's a great idea. How do I start? He said, I think the show's coming up in Vegas. And that was probably 2 months from then. I booked myself at the show as an attendee, okay? And at the licensing show, mostly the licensors are all there. So, you know, Marvel, Viacom, Nickelodeon, everybody's there. Their job is to sell their licenses, okay? And prior to the show, you can go onto the site, register as, you know, a potential licensee, and put your product up there, explain what you're looking for, and you can make appointments with people at their booths. So that's normally what I did, so I made appointments. Now you can do that. You can today just go into LIMA. I think even without being a member, you could at least see the exhibitors list. You can reach out to people on LinkedIn, you know, type in licensing. I don't want to give away any of my contacts at Nickelodeon, but let's say you say Warner Brothers licensing, right? And you're going to find all kinds of people there, even on LinkedIn, and they're going to have different expertise. So normally, you know, you might have someone who handles electronics, apparel, housewares, whatever. That licensing department is going to have a lot of different specialties in there. But you can just reach out to that person directly is one way to do it. And so the way that I did it, though, once I connected on the licensing website prior to that show, I actually had an author reach out to me from a children's book series. It's called The What If Monster. She reached out to me and said, I think this would make a great cozy phone. You know, I have thousands of people in my audience, and, you know, I'd love to be your first licensor. This is one of the things I talk about. Hey, you don't have to start off big. This is a one page. We did a one page licensing agreement between her, the author, and me, you know, the brand owner. No minimum guarantees involved, a straight 5% royalty. And we had a deal done and product in place by the time we both got to the licensing show. And I think she was awarded like up and comer of the year or something like that. So that was really just down and dirty, easy, didn't take a lot of lawyers and a lot of expense. But, you know, this lady had, say, 10,000 followers on Facebook. She's traveling to every school around the country giving presentations, and she's got product that go along with it. So she's like a mega influencer in her category. And I was able to take that success story when we did go to Nickelodeon and say, look, we've had success in licensing with just this small product, and demonstrate some initial success.
You know, my dad is, he's always on top of these types of things. And he came home, I always remember this, back in the, I think it was the 80s, whenever Wayne Gretzky was going into the NHL. So he was playing for Sault Ste. Marie, which is a junior A team. And he came back and he says, I don't believe it. You know, this is bull, blah, 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 blah. He goes, I'm trying to get Wayne Gretzky. He owned a skate company. And so he was negotiating for the licensing rights for Wayne Gretzky to sign off on his skates. Gretzky loved the skates, but the agent came in and he goes, they were trying to charge me $10,000. I mean, what would that be worth now? You know,
can you imagine?
Can you imagine? But yeah, and I want to just go back to, Kelsey had tons of these when he was growing up, but it doesn't have to be a sexy product.
Right.
We used to get into licensing with ink pads, wood handle stamps, wall decorations. You know, you remember the stencils? We got mm-hmm. into it with that. There's so many things that they're almost, they're not brown bag products. They're not sexy products, but they were just the average products that, and most of it, either arts and crafts people would like or kids would like. And man, things.
Yeah, it's amazing. You could license just with artwork. You know, there's actually a program that Merch has right now. You know, the print on demand service mm-hmm. from Amazon. And I'm not exactly sure how to get into that program, but I saw a presentation on it where they have certain licensors have made their collection, their artwork collection mm-hmm. available, and you can actually create a merch licensed product and then submit it to them. They have to approve it, right? And then all of a sudden you're selling, you know, a mug or a t-shirt with licensed artwork on it. So, I mean, there's a super simple way to get started, right?
Yeah. And another one, you know, Dave Kettner.
Yes.
Okay. So Dave's got a program out right now. I think it's out right now about selling on Etsy.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing. You go mm-hmm. in, you set up your licensing, and then you can blast it out on these 100 products.
Wow. So,
yeah, I think it's a great idea. Anyways, I'll try to post this in the chat, what his course. I don't even know if it's out there yet. I have seen it, but I'll get the information. And if anybody's interested in checking that out and going down the licensing side, it's a huge opportunity. And it's Etsy. And from what I understand, Etsy right now, I know for a fact, is doing great. You know, the people that are doing print on demand on Etsy. And if you've got a license, yeah, it's pretty cool. So let's talk about, we've talked about kind of setting it up. By the way, Javits still going on. When I used to be really into licensing, it was the Javits Center in New York.
Yeah. Well, that the licensing expo, the big one, is normally in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And then Toy Fair is the real, you know, the big toy show, and that happens at Javits. And there's usually a side-by-side licensing event with toys, because yep. toys are obviously, it's really the biggest category for toys and entertainment go together.
Okay. Hey, Kelsey, it looks like we have either comments or questions coming in.
Yeah, we've got a whole bunch. And I appreciate okay. you bringing up Barney on the show and my love of it.
No problem.
Can you sing the song for us, Kelsey? Do you remember it?
Maybe at the end of the show. If they stick
I
around.
Love you, you love me, we're a happy family.
All right. We do have quite a bit of comments and questions. Okay. We'll start with Dr. Kaz. Can you give an example of basic license terms you have executed so we have an idea of the economics?
Oh, he's a mind reader. That was going to be my next question after these questions.
Sure, it was.
So, it was.
Sorry. Can you repeat the question, please?
Can you give an example of basic license terms you have executed so we have an idea of the economics?
Yes. All right. So I'm going to explain the basic structure of the license and some ranges for terms. Okay. Here we go, as fast as I can. So a license usually is for a period of time. So let's say it's a 2 or 3 year license. So let's just say it's a 3 year license for. And in this case, you know, because I'm mostly familiar with kids' license, entertainment licenses. So, you know, let's use that as an example without any particular brand. But let's say that it's a TV show character that you want to license. And you're talking actually to the licensing professional in that organization. And we're talking about a 3 year license. So there's a 3 year license. Okay, that's the time period. And then where are you going to sell it? North America, worldwide, whatever. So let's, in this case, say North America. So there's the time involved, where you're going to sell it. Then there's the sales channels. Where are you allowed to sell sales channels? Online, retail, all of that, right? And which in that case, are you talking about selling it direct to consumer that is, you're selling it as a retail price, wholesale, FOB. These are all terms that have to be, you know, defined in the contract. Okay, so there's, now we got the time, the geography, the type of sales, okay, and then you get to the all important royalty, right? The royalty is normally a percentage of sales, but that can be different whether it's a retail sales, wholesale, or FOB, or distributor. Each one of those could have a different rate. In general, I think a okay place to start, if you're talking about direct to consumer, you're probably it could be anywhere from 5 to 15% of the retail price. Okay. If let's say that you're 10% of retail, you're probably somewhere around, or let's say you're 5% of retail, then you're probably 10% on wholesale. Does that make sense? Because your wholesale will basically, the licensor is getting the same royalty there. But once it's out of your hands as the manufacturer, the wholesaler, the licensor has no ability to collect royalties from like the second party reseller. So that's why you have to collect the royalties on the wholesale amount. Okay. So let's just say that it's, again, just let's use a number of 10% and don't worry about what type of sale it is. So you're going to have to report quarterly to the licensor, usually quarterly, what your sales were, and write a check for that royalty amount. Okay. Now, you have, over the life of that contract, you have what's called a minimum guarantee. That is the minimum amount of royalties you're going to pay for the whole contract. So we're going to, through your experience and my experience, we're going to come up and what the requirements are of the licensor, what that minimum guarantee or MG might be. So they may say, well, we want minimum of $20,000 guaranteed in this contract. So you're going to guarantee, just like a personal guarantee, that you're going to pay that whether you sell 10,000 items or no items at all. You have to pay that money. But the royalties, as you go ahead and you're going through your reporting, you're working off your minimum guarantee. Quarterly, you know, let's say your first quarter, you earned $5,000 in royalties. So now your MG is still $20,000, but you paid $5,000 of it, right? So you work down your MG as you go. And then if you go beyond your MG, of course, you're going to continue to pay royalties at that royalty rate specified. Okay, so you've got the royalty rate. You've got the minimum guarantee for the whole contract. And then here's the one that it takes to get started. That's the advance. Okay. So when you sign that contract, normally the licensor is going to ask you for an advance on the MG. Does that make sense? So let's say the MG was $20,000 for a 3-year contract. They might ask for a third of that upfront upon signing. That way you have skin in the game from day one. And they know that you are going to be incentivized to get that product out in the marketplace. Because remember that the incentive for the licensor not only is to make money on the license, honestly, half the time that's not even their main goal, to make money on the license. They want that product out there. It's brand, you know, it's brand building for them, right? So although the royalties are really important to their program, they're using licensing as a way of brand expansion. So royalty percentage, minimum guarantee, contract length, and the percentage of whatever, well, that's still the royalty, but it's calculated in different ways. So did I confuse you enough, Norm?
No, I mean, it's perfect. Okay. One thing I do have to ask, I just had a friend that got a really great deal with DC and Batman, Superman, different really cool signs. But what was interesting is, along with the agreement, they're doing a lot of the push with them. They're helping promote. You want to talk about that? Like, you know, the advantage of DC Comics promoting.
So, yeah, thanks. That's that's a huge advantage that I, you know, failed to mention in the beginning, advantage of licensing, is that you are have access to this incredible pool of marketing materials, right? Now, it's not like when we just pop up an advertisement on Amazon and you decide what looks good and you put it out there. When you're working with a licensor, you need to get your promotional marketing materials approved. So that's, you know, adds a little bit of complexity. But many times they're having, you know, social media programs that you can piggyback on, television advertising, opportunities to get into, you know, much bigger, you know, let's say it's a movie release or something like that. You know, these guys are planning their promotional and their merchandising 2 years out from a big entertainment event. And at some level, you know, you can be involved in that. Mm-hmm. It could be something, you know, one of the things that we talked about with one of my licensor was amusement park. You know, they have gift stands and shops and amusement parks worldwide. And we, you know, get our merchandise in there. So there's a lot of marketing opportunities in addition to opportunities to be introduced to, you know, resellers who are already selling those products. So, you know, a Nickelodeon might have a big relationship with Target and they can make that introduction to you, mm-hmm. for you, right? To the buyer who's already buying their other Nickelodeon products.
The other thing that I'd like to add is you can go out. So for marketing, it makes it a lot easier. Let's say it's Batman. Okay, so now you're stuck with this minimum guarantee. You got it on Amazon. Amazon seller or buyers might not think of Batman signs, so it might have lower search volume on, but you've got the ability to go on to Facebook. Anywhere, type in, you know, Batman, just find, or on Instagram, find people who belong or are interested with hashtag Batman or Superman, right. And then target them, you know, or try to find influencers, mm-hmm. give them a bloody, you know, whatever it is. And now you're going to push that information out on their influencer networks while you're doing your own marketing on Facebook or Instagram, contacting the people. Look, if I'm into Batman or Superman, and I want to, you know, decorate my house or give my kids products like that, if that shows up in my, you know, newsfeed, I'm going to pay attention to it.
Absolutely. No, the ability to market to those brand loyalists or those fans is amazing.
Mm.
And you know, the data is out there. Just like you said, you can find the people who are following those brands.
Right. Okay, Kellis, I think there's a few more questions.
Yeah, so one from Nathan. Did Paul ever get any crazy hazmat reviews with his cozy phones? It seems like Amazon might latch on electronics products for kids.
I have had to deal with hazmat issues. just getting things approved normally. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Especially when you get into wireless and batteries and things like that. Related.
And that's a great question. These are just, you know, pain in the butt that we got to do. Amazon's Amazon. So, what about knocking off? Have you had any people try to knock off products and you had to defend it, or, you know, how did you deal with it?
I was in a good mood until you brought that up, Norm. Yeah, so we are the category creators, right? No one ever did a character headband headphone for kids. So it's very frustrating to see the knockoffs. And yes, I do have quite a few knockoffs. So people have taken our designs and slightly modified them. You know, I've been pretty open about my brand for a couple of years now. I can tell you that most of the people who are knocking us off are foreign sellers. Some are manufacturers. I happen to know specifically that one of my first competitors used to work at my factory.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. Left the factory, saw the success, left the factory, created a knockoff product. And so one of the ways that I've dealt with that is obviously through licensing, you know, continue to differentiate the product and things that they do not have access to.
Yep.
And then we've also, you know, used all the different IP strategies on Amazon. You know, we're brand registered, we're trademarked. We've had people use our brand name before. We've had people use similar brand names. For example, I'm Cozy Phones, C-O-Z-Y. Somebody else tried to make K-O-Z-Y. And we were successfully removed them from Amazon. I do know, I know the brand, so I know that they popped back up with a new name, right?
Okay.
So it's a little bit of whack-a-mole going on, but we continue to whack them. We continue to lead the category and, you know, try to innovate and stay ahead of the copycats and crush them when you can.
So next question is, you've got these knockoffs coming out from foreign countries, let's say China. Do you have any protection with trademark? Did you create a trademark in China to make sure that they didn't go that route and try to block you from exporting your product?
I'm actually working on that right now.
Okay, good. Yeah. All right. So, and oh, I guess we should talk about that for a second. So with some of the bigger brands, mid-sized to bigger brands, there are some people that are seeing the success. So Paul's got a great product. Sometimes you'll have somebody, typically in China. So if your product manufacturer's in China, they'll go and trademark your name. And then what happens is you go to export the product and it's blocked at customs. And then you can get it. It's just a pain. It's a real pain to try to get it released. Best thing to do is get a trademark from China. It's not expensive, and it will protect you from any of this stuff.
You have a partner that does that, don't you, Norm?
Yeah, I wasn't plugging my partner, but yeah.
I mean, if you're going to tell people about that, you might as well give them the URL.
Yeah, just head over and talk to Alpha Lobby over at Honu. Yeah. But Paul, stop.
Come on.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a great service.
Well, yeah, check it out if you're interested. Again, yeah, this is not about me, but check it out on Google
as
well.
We're just saving some people some keystrokes, Norm.
Okay. What a guy. All right. So hey, there's probably not. This is an interesting question, and you're probably, you know, how long is a piece of string's going to be your answer? But is there any cost to get started with licensing outside, like any general cost for your guaranteed minimum?
So, you know, like I said, it's everything's negotiable, right? So if you're starting with a smaller brand, and again, I highly recommend, you know, if you can, say, find an influencer, so an influencer can do a license too, right? You can do one of my favorite stories, and I think you probably know him, maybe Rick Cesari, who did George Foreman Grill.
Yep.
Right. So Rick has been a friend of mine for a while now. And, you know, he licensed George Foreman to do the George Foreman Grill. And so that's kind of like the ultimate influencer, right? You can go down a few notches from George Foreman and find an influence in your space. Maybe you're making kitchen products and you can get a hold of a celebrity chef. And you may be able to negotiate no minimum guarantee. So everything's negotiable in terms of royalties, minimum guarantees, and so forth, depending on who you're working for. But let me talk about the expense of getting started, because it goes beyond the licensing contract, right? So basically, you've got the contract, so you've got a minimum guarantee, and you have advances and things like that. But the other expenses that are involved, if you're using a licensing consultant, that person may charge you a fee to help you secure the license, you know, review the contract and all that. You definitely are going to want to have an attorney review the licensing contract. You're going to have somebody specifically that understands licensing, because there can be a lot of gotchas in there. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to have attorney costs associated with that. You're going to have product development costs associated with developing that product. It's not the same as you and I sending a sketch to China and saying, work on this and send it back to me, because you've got to go through a very well-defined approvals process with the licensor. In my case, I sought out a designer who understood licensing because they already speak the language of the licensor. They're familiar with the submission systems. Almost every one of them has electronic submission systems. So, you know, you got to log into their approval system, upload images, upload specs, and go through this approval process. You don't want to have to do that with some designer who's never done licensing before, because you, let's say, you know, they'll give you a style guide for the license. For example, let's say Batman. Here's the style guide for Batman. You know, ears have to be black, the eyes are yellow, or whatever it is. A good designer will know how much they can get away with modifying the style guide, right? You don't get to modify it very much, I'll tell you that right now. And if you do, that design's going to get kicked back to you and it's going to take you longer for approval. So in summary, legal expenses, maybe some extra consulting expenses, some other product development expenses, in addition to your contract expenses, and then probably packaging too is going to be many times you're going to require special approved packaging versus, you know, some generic packaging.
Okay. Hey, before we get to the next question, Kelsey, just want to go through what we're doing, the giveaway again, because I know it's going to be a little bit different than normal.
Okay. Yeah. So, all you need to do is either post, take two people in the comment section, or just post hashtag I want Paul. And you'll be entered.
I wonder if that'll go viral.
There we go.
And once that happens, I'll enter you into this little generator that I made, and I'll even put on the screen for full transparency. And we'll pick a winner that way. So it's a 30-minute consultation about licensing with Paul. Just put hashtag I want Paul or tag two people, and you'll be entered into the contest.
You got to remember, what we're talking about today is really scratching the surface. And if you are interested in that, and you're interested in this giveaway, Paul's time is invaluable. You're going to get, like, he's a leader in this. So to be able to go and talk to him for 30 minutes, I'm going to add I'm going to tag a couple people too, Paul. Hopefully I win. all right. So we got a couple more questions, right, Kels?
Yes. Simon, let's do Simon's question.
Okay.
When selling licensed products on Amazon, will they require a copy of the license agreement or an authorization from brand owner?
I was going to say, maybe.
It's Amazon. Yeah.
Be prepared to have it. It's a license, right? So I honestly have not been required to show that I am a official licensee. Isn't that crazy?
That is.
That's nuts, right? I say officially licensed all over, you know, my listing and everything else. And I've never, you know, had anybody do IP complaint against it, which they could. Mm-hmm. I've had other IP complaints where, you know, I've used a brand name of a compatible electronic device or something like that. But you should absolutely be prepared to show that you do have a license.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see. We've got comments or a question.
Yeah, Darwin's got something.
Yeah. Okay, let's do Darwin's first. Okay, I think this is more of a comment. I'm considering licensing for sure. I like doing things that most people won't, but I just don't know how a low-level seller would look appealing to a high level brand. And she goes on to say, wow, I just thought about it. I have a really cool beach idea for kids that is not on Amazon, but can be easily be knocked off. It's water related. And I think Finding Nemo could work well. How would I approach a company like that?
So if I was trying to find Nemo, I would find out who's handling the license first. First thing is, you know, I'd start Googling. I'd say Finding Nemo licensing, and you can find, do your research, and you can find out who's handling the license. sometimes the company handles it directly, and many times they have a licensing agency that you have to go to.
Okay.
Okay. And so once you get into the organization, then you have to find the right person to talk to. Okay. If it's a beach towel, you know, that goes under maybe accessories or something like that, you know, depending on the size of the organization, they're going to have categories where people handle only electronics or only apparel and so forth. So keep digging down until you find the right person, whether it's in LinkedIn or Google or whatever, and get on the phone or shoot them an email. I mean, that's their job. Their job is to vet licenses. And even if you're a smaller seller, sometimes it's just a little gravy for them to put on to add that license. Or you might get lucky like I did my first time. You know, the people saw my product. I showed them significant sales on Amazon, and they fell in love with it. They said, this is going to make great. And guess what? We get to be the first ones in this category with a license. And they like that. They like being unique.
Yeah. Simon even said, I search for the Disney licensing manager on LinkedIn and message them. They are keen to sell to you and will respond quickly. We also have a great deal with Warner for Batman. These agreements are super simple and relatively cost effective.
Yeah, so, awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Marcia has a question. Also interesting would be his thoughts on how to pick the top three perfect licenses to apply to your product.
Wow, that's a good question. I wish I had the answer. So I, you know, how to pick the pop. To me, when I think about product license fit, this is what I call product license fit, right? I'm saying, who is, you know, if you want to build an avatar of your perfect customer, you say, well, who's my customer? Who's my end user? And really, what do they want? Right. So if my end user is a preschooler and, you know, we know that they like things like Nickelodeon, Sesame Street, PJ Masks, that's where I approach it from. Right? You know, if my end user is for some of my adult products, for example, if my end user is an adult product, adult who's going out to football games and wants a headband headphone that keeps their head warm, then maybe I have to figure out which football teams they like, right? So it really comes down to appealing to the end user. That's where I start. Like, you know, and I have some brands that I've licensed which were not that great. Some classic kids entertainment brands that just aren't that hot anymore. And although I loved them because I grew up with them, that doesn't mean that today's kids love them, right? So it also, you also want to look at what is that brand doing and what do they have upcoming? Do they have a movie launch coming up? Are they going to be hot, you know? So that's the way I look at it.
Now,
I'm going to add on. There's also cost involved. You know, somebody just mentioned Disney. Disney minimum guarantee is maybe way out of reach for most people, right? But another guarantee for another brand may be within reach. So
you really, you're suggesting like building personas for your audience, like just understanding exactly who you're targeting as specific as possible.
Right. Yeah. You know, a really great example, and a good friend of mine runs a company called Kids Embrace, KIDS, the word embrace, and their car seats. In fact, they introduced us to the Batman series. So we got our license through them, and they have a line of car seats, which are all licensed. So Spider-Man, Batman, Paw Patrol, I think, you know, Marvel, DC Comics, the whole thing. And it's all about appealing to what that kid likes, right? Bottom line is that's it, you know, and of course you have to appeal to the parents too, but the parents are buying something that they want their kids to use. So when the parent is who is making the buying decision, they're buying based on, you know, what the child's preferences are.
Okay.
Let's see. Oh, it looks like we have our first entry, Dawin. And just to let everyone, Dawin is a guy. I think I said she a couple times, but sorry, Dawin.
Okay, Darwin also got the Catboy reference right.
Yeah, yeah, Darwin's on the ball. All right, for a new product that is designed by me, would you recommend testing the product on its own first, validate that people actually like it, and then go for a license?
Yes, I'd say you're going to have a very little chance of getting a license on an unproven product. Yeah, and that's exactly what I did. So I proved the product with our own original designs, and then we went for a license. Most licensors are going to ask you to show them some proof of success.
Okay, great. So I think that's it for questions. There was just some comments, but it's more like a conversation going happening. But yeah, if anyone else is interested, hashtag I want Paul in the comments, and you'll be entered into the contest. But that's it on my side.
All now. Right, great. So Paul, are there any other items that you want to talk about regarding licensing? Because I know you can go on and you've talked for hours on licensing. This is a 45-minute podcast. Are there any other points that you think we should be talking about that people should realize if they're going to go and pursue licenses?
Yeah, I just realized it's not easy. It's not fast.
It's like Amazon.
Right. Yeah. It's not passive. it's something that you have to commit to. And it's a commitment. It's a long-term commitment. It's going to be expensive. It could be frustrating. You know, you don't get to call all the shots all the time. You have to work with a licensor. You have to get approvals. There's going to be expenses involved. You have to do reporting. So you need to be serious about it if you want to get into it. But I believe that the benefits outweigh the commitment.
Okay. What was it? I just had something. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, shoot. Oh, yeah, I know what it was. VAs. You can get them to do a lot of this work and a lot of the reporting and the back and forth. So what are some things that you could provide or give VAs to take the onus off of you and loosen up some time when you're doing all this?
Well, I think the reporting is probably you already hit the note hit that on the head right there, that they can easily do the reporting for you, you know, go into your systems and, you know, report the sales and so forth that are necessary to do that. Mm-hmm. May or may not be able to do some research. So research in terms of, hey, uncovering licenses that may be good for your brand, right? And then who to contact. So those basic things. And then maybe even some design work in terms of, if I said, look, we're going to do a Batman license, but I want to see other complementary products that already have Batman on them. So in terms of doing a little background work for designs, then you could have them collecting, you know, all the Batman products that you can find. You say, well, I like that approach, right? We're going to use this approach on our product. So those are just the ones I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah. While you were saying that, I was thinking, dig into market research, mm-hmm. new market trends, you know, see if the product is actually trending. Mm-hmm.
That's a great point. Google Trends is probably a great tool to use for that.
Yeah, so there are a lot of things that they can do, and including like taking you were talking about images. Here's one. So I'm not sure if you've ever done this, but if you've gone out and taken different images and you've gone to a focus group or over, it could be PicFu or it could be Usability Hub, show the different images to people, just do an artist, you could either just do a rendering or just the image itself, and see which image works the best.
I like that. Because you can, you know, when you're talking about doing a product design with licensing, you can go in lots of different directions. You are, you know, limited by the creative that they give you, but how you apply that creative could be, you know, a dozen different ways. So yeah. I like the idea of using a PicFu to say, hey, here's Cozy Phones or whatever. Here's our top 10 picks, which one do you like best?
Right. Because for me, if I'm going to pick Batman, I'm going with Adam West with the pow and the... Nobody else will, but I would. Right. Okay, so just to round this off, we're coming to the end here. Let's just kind of go through those action steps one more time. It's just very quickly. We don't have to get right into it, but just one, two, three, four.
So I'm going to put one before the others I already mentioned. I made a short free course. It's at nextlevellicensing.net, and that will really talks about the basic tech.
So oh, great.
Nextlevellicensing.net. I do have a paid course, you know, which links up to that course, but nobody really needs to do that right now. but go to nextlevellicensing.net, and they'll review the basic steps. But the basic steps are, you know, you have to do, you kind of get an idea of what licenses you might be interested in. You do some research, find some, do some outreach to contact those licensors and, you know, see if they have an interest. They're going to ask you for your sales and, you know, what your product's all about. A lot of times then they're also going to ask you for a proposal. That is, you have to provide them some of your sales numbers and some basic information about your product. And if they want to move forward, then they'll provide you with, you know, a draft contract and where you'll specify the term in length, the geography of that you can sell in, the sales channels that you can sell in, the royalty rate, the minimum guarantee, and the advance, right? And then if you can get all that down pat and you have an agreement, you've used an attorney to review the agreement, you've executed the agreement, then you get into the development phase where you have to provide artwork of your proposed design. That gets approval. Then you have to usually provide samples, packaging, the whole thing, approvals, 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 until you get your final approval for production. And then you get to go from there. And then it's time to go into marketing.
Now that's a whole other ball game.
Right, exactly.
That's what we'll have, when you come back, that's what we'll be talking about.
Okay.
Okay. So Oh, okay. Thank you. I see. Excellent presentation, Paul. There you go. I thought it was great too. It was laid out really well. You made it really easy. Yeah, I think it's great. So I think we're going to wrap up unless anybody has any last minute questions. Once again, you've got a couple of minutes before we do the draw. If you want to tag two people that are in the comments section, or say, I love Paul, boom, you will be entered into the draw. That'll be live in a couple of minutes. All right, sir, how do people get a hold of you?
Well, thanks so much again, Norm, for the opportunity. I really like LinkedIn a lot. So I'll just look up Paul Miller, Amazon, search me on LinkedIn. I think it's The Real Paul Miller is my LinkedIn address. But you'll be able to find me there if you do Paul Miller, Amazon, and or Paul Miller Cozy Phones. That's probably going to be your best bet. So connect with me on LinkedIn. I actually looked at LinkedIn messages from time to time, so happy to do there. You can, again, go to nextlevellicensing.net, take that free course, and, of course, you'll get stuck on my email list there. I don't email very often. I'm when it comes to course marketing, I'm lousy, so... I don't email a lot of people.
Okay. So, Kels?
Yes.
Do we have a winner?
Yeah. Well, we only got one entry today. Okay. So, you know, Thanksgiving, people are away. But it looks like the winner is Dalin. So, ooh, congratulations. Dalin, just email me at... k@lunchwithnorm.com. I'll put it in the comments.
Yeah, we'll put it into the... Okay.
Norm, and you are the winner. So email me, and yeah.
That is a... It is actually a great, a really great giveaway. You know, it's... Spend a half hour with Paul. You're going to learn a lot. So congrats. All right, sir.
Good job, Darwin. Looking forward to speaking with you.
All right, and I guess that's it. We are going to have you back, and we're going to be talking about maybe marketing of licensing, just like we were talking about. And until then, well, thanks a lot for coming on.
Thanks. Thanks very much. Enjoyed it.
All right. We'll see you later. Okay, so you abruptly cut Paul off in the middle of him saying thank you. My gosh, Kelsey, you're slipping. Quick on the trigger. Okay, so everybody, thanks for joining this podcast today. Kelsey, let's do your thing.
Do my thing? Okay, so it looks like we got lots of likes. 11 likes going so far. Let's bump those numbers up even more. Smash that like button. Ring the bell. I'm noticing just already the YouTube comments today have been amazing. You guys have been having conversations. There's some friendships made in the YouTube comments, so that's great.
I thought I saw that. That was pretty good. That was funny. Yeah.
All right. Yes, and a Facebook group. We have a Facebook group. It's Norman Farrar, Lunch with Norm, Amazon FBA, and E-Commerce Collective. You need to answer 3 questions to get in. It's a piece of cake. You'll be able to do it. Okay. And yeah, let's see. Happy Thanksgiving to our American viewers.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving.
And yeah, our guests next week. We're still working out the topics for the guests, but we can.
Kirsten, if you're listening, no pressure.
We have Kirsten Ross coming back for Monday. And then we have Brian Johnson on Wednesday and Carlos Alvarez on Friday. So
what a lineup. That's going to be great.
And then the next week we have Afolabi, Cassandra, and Kevin again. So
nice.
We got a stacked lineup.
Okay, perfect. So, hey, one of the other things I want to talk about that I don't usually talk, once in a while I do, but guys, this is a online Amazon podcast. If you want to check out something, and I'd love to get your feedback, as long as it's positive. No, all feedback. Check out I Know This Guy. It's a podcast about interesting people. It's not about, sitting on Lamborghinis flashing money. It's about failure and how people came back from failure to success. How did they dig out of it? What did they learn from it? And, just moving forward. It also talks about some really cool backstories on how they went from, being young, all the different challenges they may have had to where they are. So check it out. I Know This Guy. It's another podcast that I do, it's not anything to do with e-commerce, although there are some really cool e-commerce guys that are on there and ladies. All right. So until next time, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast today. Thanks for participating live. We're trying to provide some really cool giveaways on each podcast. We hope we can continue to do that all the time. And I think that's it.
Yeah, I got another comment. Keep growing the stash. See, I'm getting support, Dad. Getting support. People love it. Melanie loves it. And okay, that's it.
You Happy do what you everyone. Do.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, guys. See you next time. And one last thing. Join us live Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays every noon Eastern Standard Time. See you later, and then have a great day. Lunch with the